I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You see, with this simple tincture, we can induce in them the kind of bloodlust euphoria that you would normally need 500-600 bullets and a minigun to induce in one of these.
Hello and welcome to the Lore Boys podcast. My name is James Miller. Today we will be talking about some 40k lore from James and not Ethan. What the heck?
What? How?
Who?
That's my thing.
So my name is James. Who else is here? What's your names, guys?
I'm Ethan. I'm a ogre in Grr.
And I'm Peter, so I guess my next one I'll do a Jamie episode. I will cover a N64 game that he rented from Blockbuster and has an emotional attachment to. So you're gonna get all the information, but none of the passion.
Yeah. All right, I can't wait. Gomon's Great Adventure.
Yeah, sure, dude. Writing it down.
Okay.
And I'll do a Peter episode, which, as we've established, is he's the mecha guy of the podcast. So I'm gonna do Gundam.
There you go. Easy peasy.
Okay, we all move over one.
Yeah, exactly. One seat over until we fall off the end and go back to the beginning.
In terms of people who asked for this, I didn't see anyone who asked for it. There's a lot of people who like the 40K universe, but I didn't see anyone who asked for Ogryn specifically. The reason why I did get into Ogryns is because I've been playing Darktide. I recently updated my PC setup, so I have a nice new big screen, a nice new powerful computer. So I've been playing Darktide because I can handle all the million bodies running at me now.
All the zombos.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think by all accounts, it wasn't a wonderfully optimized game. I don't know how it runs these days, but I think on launch it was pretty rough.
Works great for me on my rickety old computer.
It's they just put an update out. I think like the anniversary update is either now or coming. They redid all the skill trees. So I didn't see the skill tree before because I was late to the game. But basically now you have three main lines down, which has like a grenade ability, a usable ability, and then some type of like trait that's really good for you. So for example, right now I'm playing an Ogryn that uses a grenade where you only get one grenade, but it fucking hits. Like, if you throw it at a boss, it takes half the boss's health.
Holy shit.
Yeah. And, like, if you throw it in a big group of... Like, yesterday, there was this huge mob, group of mobs coming towards us, and I threw it, and it shows in the top left whenever you get, like, a kill on, like, a notable unit. And it's, like, Yordo killed Scrab Rager, but, like, six of them came up. All in the top left. Threw a grenade right at the right spot as they were kind of spawning, and it was beautiful. You get your like grenade ability, you get your like usable ability. So for me as an Ogryn, you have like this charge where you run forwards and you knock them all over and you stun them.
It's the bowling pin thing, right? Does it have the bowling pin sound effect?
It does not.
There's a mod for that for sure,
yeah,
right?
But the one that I'm using right now, because I'm more gun specced, is basically you press the button and your reload speed is much faster, your shooting speed is much faster, and you can like get other things in the tree to like make it apply like burn while you're doing it, increase the movement speed of you and your allies while you use this ability. So there's a lot of good little things in there. And then your third and last thing at the bottom of the tree will be something like 8% of my bullets automatically crit and are refund as ammo.
Oh, and cool. Okay.
So ammo is like kind of hard to come. Well, not hard to come by, but it is scarce. Like you'll run out of ammo if you're not careful.
Now, when you say 8% of my bullets automatically crit, is that a deliberate wording or do you just mean 8% of your shots crit? Like, is it like every, you know, every eighth shot out of, or every eight shots out of 100 automatically crits, or do you just have an 8% crit chance?
I think the reason I said it that way is I have something called lucky bullet. So 8% of my bullets are refunded to me as extra ammo.
Okay.
But I got another thing on top of that, that when I get refunded the ammo, it also crits. So,
oh, cool. Okay. So I would say you said it deliberately. 8% automatically crit. I would say that makes sense. Yeah.
So the skill trees are new. They're super cool. It's a great reason to come back to the game. I also tried like a melee build where you're an ogre and your heavy attacks are rewarded. So every time you do a big, long, heavy attack, your toughness comes back, which is like your shield.
Yeah.
It regenerates your health. You give plus 10% damage to other heavy hitters around you. And the game also, like Vermintide, is really you're rewarded for sticking together. So there's like four different classes in the game. You can play Ogryn is what I was really attracted to, which is, spoilers, pretty much an ogre.
Dude, I wanted to find out organically in the episode.
Organically?
Organically.
Organically?
Yeah. But you can also play as either a zealot, veteran, or a psyker. And Ogryn and psyker caught my eyes right away. But right now I'm playing Ogryn and I just got him to level 30, which is like the max level of the game. So now I can have access to like the hardest difficulty of stuff. And also I think I have the chance at rolling the best gear. The gear is kind of complicated.
Can I ask a preload question here before we do jump into the episode? Just tell me if this is going to be on the episode, but like you compared it to Vermintide, which is the Warhammer Fantasy version of this game, which came out first.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a clearly defined, I guess, story to that one in terms of like the Skaven invasion and, you know, the moon is made of green cheese, which we've done episodes on the Skaven before we talk about this. And there's named characters who are, you know, characters in an overarching story, I suppose. Yeah. My understanding is that Darktide is your prisoners, right? On like a penal colony.
You start as a prisoner and shit happens where you break out.
Are they established named characters or are you playing as just like you're playing as your character?
You create and name your character.
Name your character. You get to choose the planet you came from. You get to choose what your defining moment was.
Like, what was your defining moment?
As an ogre, my defining moment was a mining accident. So I came from a mining planet and I was like a mining slave and this big mining accident.
You're a miner.
Yeah, basically caused me to get into trouble, and it was kind of interpreted as going against the Imperium of Man. This mining accident, I should have been more productive, right?
Of course, yeah.
You accidentally mined through the Golden Throne. Oh no, what is he doing? It's the gold pickaxe. Like,
yeah. For Orgrin, that'd be pretty on brand, I guess. They're known. You have to keep things away from their immediate vicinity that can be used as weapons, because if it looks like it could be used as a club by an ogre, it probably will be.
They'll just club it.
Yeah, their guns that are in the game, Ripper guns, is like basically a shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
But in the game, like you can see, like instead of a reticle, it's like this big square of area. And pretty much all the heads that are in that square are going to pop whenever you press shoot.
I've seen you walking around with it. It looks like a piece of PP. It looks like a potato cannon, basically. Just like a tube with a stock on it.
Yeah. And they have to, those things used to be able to shoot all their ammo very quickly, but they had to put a limiter on it because they found out the ogrins would just shoot all their ammo before the fight even started.
Very good. Very good.
So they have a limiter on it, and that's the canon reason why you can only you can't auto, basically. You can only take one shot at a time.
Gosh, I thought it would be like their fingers are too fat to get through the trigger guard. It's like yeah. that's the safety, the prevention measure they put on it to keep them from firing off too fast. It's like they just reduce the size of the trigger guard by 6%, and now you're like, you can't get yeah. your fat little index finger
yeah.
in there.
Yeah. I was playing with a friend of the show, Bobby, who we saw this weekend. I played with Pete, and I think yep. that was just, it was just us three.
Yeah, when we'd had a rando rotated. I play a Zealot.
Bobby, oh,
yeah.
you played a Zealot. Did Bobby yeah. play a Zealot, too?
He had a Zealot. Yeah.
He had a
Zealot. Since Pete was playing the Zealot, he played his Psyker, I want to say.
Okay. Oh, yes, of course.
Like the yeah, wizard
yeah.
class?
Yeah. yeah, but you can play all at once. I had a game the other day where it was just all Ogryns. There's just four of us. And we were all saying like big man supremacy and all this stuff, yeah, and yeah. just knocking each other out.
Yeah, yeah. Wide kings. Hashtag yeah. wide king.
Exactly. I like to, I named mine with the random generator Yordo. So I'll caps in chat just say my own name sometimes and things.
Yeah.
So I try and RP a really dumb player, and that's why I get down sometimes.
Yeah. The game has some pretty intense difficulty spikes, honestly. I haven't played nearly as much, and I just tried my best to make a Sister of Battle. You can, sort of. Like, the Zealot class does have a fire-based religious branch, I guess. It's, like, as close yeah. as you get.
Yeah. I don't know what the Zealots are in Warhammer 40K. You know, like, I don't know what branch they are from.
They're part of the Imperium of Man. I didn't really read my backstory. I was just like, I'm a pilgrimage that. Who did something like sinful on a pilgrimage or whatever. So the Ecclesiarchy is mad at me.
Yeah, and I guess Ethan, to further answer your question, when you said it, are there like name? You're not playing as a named person, but there are like named generals and stuff that you do meet, and like okay. a couple of names. I was like, oh, like that cutscene. I should know who that is, but I just don't remember kind of okay. thing. I'll be honest, I skipped most of the cutscenes. They didn't feel that great. There's not like in Vermintide, there's a cohesive story, right? There's an act 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
You're getting something done. There's like a beginning, middle, and end. Dark Tide, your trust level. So like every, like your trust level goes up to 30. It's basically your character level. Okay. And as you build your trust level, you get access to like the place where you can get missions, the place where you can upgrade your guns, the place you can blah blah.
And trust is like how the Imperium of Man trusts you, ex-convict who tried to mine into the Golden Throne.
Yes,
exactly.
What was your crime, Peter? What was your character's crime?
It was some religious thing. I very much did like the RP of like the sister who had sinned and didn't get jacked up on meth and turned into a penitent engine. Like why, I mean, why is she not current?
Gotcha. His crime was he didn't report a crime. He saw one and he just like did a blind eye to it. But
I saw an ogre mining into the Golden Throne and I didn't say anything.
And I forget why. Sorry, I lost you guys for a second there. My headset died, and I'm back. I'm not sure. I forget why, but the game gave me like a funny little thing. It's like you saw a guy like spill his mop bucket and not clean it up, and now you're in jail, kind of thing. Like,
okay.
I forget the exact reason it gave me, but I chuckled at it because it was so like,
hey,
so small.
It's
Well, I certainly hope you've been knocking today. You were like your job in the Imperium was a narc, and you did a narc on somebody, and then obviously you get put on the prison ship for it.
I mean, it's ultra fascism, right? So if there wasn't like narcs and going to jail for spilling a mop bucket, like, you know, what are we talking about?
You can just take all that filthy water out of their pay.
Yeah, exactly. Right. You gotta bring. You get hired at a job. Whenever you get hired at a job and they tell you got to bring your own filthy water, that's false. Okay, you can demand that they have to give you a bucket of dirty water. Okay,
VFX is almost there, dude. A buddy of mine who works at a different studio than the one that I had worked at had to take a 49% pay cut instead of getting laid off, and the rest of his paycheck is subsidized as a loan from the company. So he is straight up a serf for this VFX studio at this point.
I'm going to go ahead and say, and I don't know his case, and I don't know Quebec labor law that well, I'm going to go ahead and say he didn't have to do that. He could have taken the layoff and the severance, but he chose to take the pay cut and
that was the two options. He's got kids, so I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, straight up now 49% and in debt to your employer. That sounds like the Imperium of Man to me. But, like, exactly. Who's going to make the next Little Mermaid remake other than these people on their sci-fi prison colony, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Cool. So, we'll get to know Ogryns a little bit. Ogryns would be probably too dumb to work on VFX. Maybe a bonehead could do it. But we'll get into who the Ogryns are, some of the different types, like a bonehead, a bulwark, a gunlugger, an oathbound bodyguard, a bulgrin. These are some of the things that we'll talk about.
A bulgrin and a cuckgrin, obviously. Yeah. The giant chair in the corner of the hotel room.
one of those sounded a very little like the other. So I guess I'm curious to get to that.
Yeah. All right, we'll get to them. First off, what is an ogryn? Is it like a monster? But no, it's not. It's just one of the groups of people who spread out. Like Warhammer, we've talked about it before. Like humanity kind of expands to a point where they can't all communicate anymore because of what was it? The big
there's 10,000 years warp of darkness. Storms. 10,000 years of warp storms that right. destroy all communication and civilizations across the galaxy kind of disintegrate.
Right, and they also evolve on their own too, outside of being from
yeah.
Earth. And,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and one of the side effects. Was the Ogryn, the Homo sapiens gigantis.
Okay.
So it's a huge and physically powerful abhuman mutant subspecies of humanity. So abhumans, there's a bunch of abhumans in the Warhammer 40K universe. Another one that you'd probably know is a ratling. That's a rat man.
Oh.
That's also the main enemy in Vermintide.
A ratling? Human rat?
Well, maybe I should double check that now that you say that.
I mean, so like there's like ratling gunners who are in Vermintide for sure.
Right.
I've never heard of a ratling in 40K, not to say that there's not. I've never heard of ab humans in 40K.
They are. You know what I'm saying? It looks like they're basically I think they're like hobbits. They look kind of like halflings, but halflings who were in Vietnam. Because this guy's got like the deer hunter headband on here.
Since the Emperor's stasis on the Golden Throne began at the end of the Horus Heresy, however, only the lesser abhuman mutants such as Ogryns and Ratlings are allowed full citizenship at the Imperium.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Ratlings in Vermintide are different.
Okay.
I think they are Skaven, not humans. Ratlings in the Imperial Guard seem to be humans with the diminutive nomenclature of rat.
Okay.
They have hobbit feet as well.
It's a good thing you're here because I would have made that mistake. And you're right because you said the other game is from the fantasy version of the game and not the 40. It all seems like fantasy to me, if I'm being honest.
That's fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
This ogre is in space, Jamie. It is completely different than an alternate universe that has fantasy animals in it. Okay, it's obviously sci-fi.
Next, you're going to call Star Wars fantasy.
So what makes an ogre? You basically have to have a cold and barren planet that has high gravity. One example is Anarch Zeta, which is why they're larger and heavier and bulkier compared to baseline humans. So they got to stay warm. They got to have big bones for big gravity, and that's kind of how it happens.
Sure, yeah.
Do you think, a lot of calcium for big bones.
Do you think more high gravity would make bigger animals? I feel like we'd have fewer elephants if our gravity was high.
There's a problem called the square cube.
Yeah.
Law, and I think you're right, and gravity is what makes that hard, because like the bigger it gets, the more, energy that it needs. Yeah. And I guess you'd need more energy to work against.
You have the okay, so that and this might be Loreboy's canon, that explains the poor intellect of ogryns, right? If their calorie count, you know, evolutionarily speaking, has been towards making big bones and making big muscles move, then they'd have less for big thinking brain.
Calcium, true. Not big on the brain thing. It's not like omegas or fish fats, right?
Exactly.
And they also don't need to work together as much. Like, you don't see them working together. You see them kind of on their own. And I know one of the theories that our brains got big is socialization and communication. Mm-hmm. If you don't got to talk to another ogryn, then you don't need that much more brain, I guess.
Yeah. The internet's working on undoing all that God's work that gave us big brains.
Yeah.
unsocializing people.
They are dumb. They're big dumb. But they compensate for their mental deficiencies with overwhelming physicality. They're about 10 Terran feet or 3 meters. And I think Terran feet are just normal feet.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, if it's three regular Earth meters, then yes, it is. And Terran feet is the same as Earth meters. But if it's 10 Terran feet is 3 Terran meters, then we have no idea.
What if these big dumb idiots on their high gravity planet have like wider squatter rulers, so they also think that they're not as tall as they actually are?
The wiki says that the brutish creatures stand around 10 Terran feet, and that could, I almost read British. It's like, oh, using feet for the British creatures now. I feel like they would have a big British accent when they get the hobbits get caught by them, though.
Everybody is like criminally like Cockney in Dark Tide.
Yeah. I mean, Games Workshop, it's a British IP, right?
It is
from,
they're keeping it local, dude. It's just support your local freaks.
Yep. So they can like shrug off wounds that would kill an Imperial Guardsman several times over. They are the tanks in Dark Tide. Dark Tide is, if you guys didn't ever play it, you just play as a group of people and there's waves of zombies and you have some type of, or not really actually zombies, people who are infested with chaos.
Yeah. It's the Left 4 Dead play loop, right?
Like, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, you can think like recent COD zombies where there's a goal on top of it, or Left 4 Dead, or you're constantly running and killing, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, they're basically the tanks. If you build like the middle skill tree, you can get like tons of health. You can get a lot of toughness. Toughness is like your shield that regenerates quickly when you're in a group. So if it's kind of like a meme, there's like collectibles. You can get like different resources to help respec your guns or buy new guns. Breaking group cohesion to run out and get one of these collectibles in a critical time is like a meme in the Dark Tide community, that basically get yourself killed over like 5 resources or something.
15 last steal worth dying for.
Exactly. Yeah. Especially in the higher difficulties, like you cannot break group cohesion just to go get that. Wait until everything's dead and go get it, or go as a group together to get it, kind of thing.
Yeah. There's something tricky about these like co-op multiplayer games, like PvE co-op multiplayer games, where when you do ratchet up the difficulty and you're playing with pug groups, or even sometimes your own stupid friends, it's like sometimes you just get that lightning in a bottle where like you either have a good night or you just like meet the right like pug group where you guys are like all on the same wavelength and it feels so fucking good.
Yeah.
And then 90% of games are just like you're so frustrated because that one fucking idiot ran off and gets you all killed, right?
Yeah. Like, it's been like 50-50 for me so far. I've had a lot of really solid groups.
Yeah.
And you feel it right from the beginning. You can see like how people are moving, like sticking together, like waiting for each other, or like pinging ammo when they can tell that your ammo is lower than theirs.
Yeah.
Like knowing when to share is huge.
I say 90%. I am probably, speaking of evolution, humans are risk averse, and it's probably like the negative experiences that my human psyche brain is like, these are way outweighing the good times. But
yeah,
I have old habits that I'm trying to fix. So like my non Bobby and Jamie games with pubs have been like, oh, these guys, I don't even know why they're playing this game. They're not participating whatsoever. Like, they just need their dopamine hit. Cause I know I've been an ammo hog in Deep Rock,
but
I'm constantly tagging resources in Dark Tide. Cause I'm like, I can't be that guy again. New game, new me. No one ever turns around and comes to get ammo or anything. Okay, they're walking in a straight line. I was like, you know what? This is going to be a good habit to bring back to Deep Rock at some point, right?
Yeah. I've been playing kind of an ammo hog build. Like, I built all the way towards guns. And like I said, I get like refunds on my bullets and stuff. And then like they apply burn stacks and they reduce my cooldown for my like basically gun zerker cooldown.
Yeah.
And it's so fun. I play with like a big heavy machine gun where basically you just like aim for heads and click once and But then whenever there's a big group of them, you just like unload and like mow them down. And it gets to a point where there's so much pink mist from everything you're killing that you can't even see what you're aiming at anymore.
Yeah.
It's very fun. It seems like the meta's kind of in flux right now because the new skill trees came out in the last 2 weeks. So I can't find like a solid build. So I've just been making my own and having a lot of fun with it. So. But next time I play with you, Pete, I'll play a melee build so we're not fighting for ammo.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, next time you play with Pete, take all the ammo. Make him lose it, you know?
I've been doing fire mostly, like damage over time, and then also the game is maybe like 55-45 melee to gun. The ammo is pretty scarce. Like, you do need to rely on the melee, and the melee is like fairly satisfying. I've got like a two-handed sword with a parry and a counter now, which is like a super generous window, like getting up close and personal with a chain sword or something like that is pretty, pretty dope.
It makes sense. So in Warhammer 40K, like when you play the game, it is hyper future, but like everybody has melee units except for like, you know, the Tau are notoriously like very, very long range and very few melee units, but like every race has melee units. It's always very viable.
Like all my expensive figurines have a sword instead of a gun, right?
Ultimate swords.
Yeah,
yeah. Scissor of Battle is a great example where I'm pretty sure they're like drop troops, where you drop like after you deploy all your minis. I'm pretty sure you deploy the Scissor of Battle. So like everyone has set up their battle lines, and then you get to drop them as like you've shown me your
flying units can do that. But like I know like I'm playing the character of like the embarrassed Sister of Battle who hasn't been turned into a monster. There are like corpses of sinners that are just jacked up full of drugs with electric whips for hands now, and those are like apparently very strong. I don't play the game and I don't want to just paint a bunch of flesh colored monsters, but
in melee, especially once you get like on the higher difficulties where there's just hordes and hordes of enemies, like the AoE nature of the melee where you can do these big sweeping strikes and kind of just like hold a stairway or a doorway or something seems really strong. And the fact that you just don't have to spend ammo for that is so good. But at the same time, having someone who's good with a gun who can let's say you approach the room from the second floor, you can see all the high the value targets, pick those off before jumping down. That helps a lot too. So it's good for both, but I think you can completely beat the game without shooting a single bullet. But at the same time, bullet fun. They do a lot better job with the guns on Darktide than Vermintide, where there's only a couple options for guns.
I like the guns.
I mean, like the elf in Kyrian?
Yeah. That's the one that I played, elf, played the most, at least.
She's primarily ranged, but I mean, it is fantasy and primarily melee combat.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the beginning.
Kruger 2 has a build path where you can play him as like a musket man. Like a minute man, essentially. And he's primarily ranged then, but
right. Yeah, we were talking with Bobby at the bar, and we were like, this is more guns, that was more melee. He's like, no, there's guns in Vermintide, and we're like, there are, but
it was like a peppermill pistols for the priest dude, right?
Yeah, you can really play, like, every character can really play with a gun in Darktide.
Cannot play the witch with a gun. I don't think she has a gun option at all, but
Pyromancer.
She is ranged, like she does just do ranged attack, ranged spells.
Yeah.
I kind of agree with Bobby. I think like you can play, I want to say, any of the classes as a primarily gun class if you want to, but
a range,
I might be just I haven't even played that one as much as you guys have.
Fair. Yeah, and guns definitely seem like a lot more at the forefront in Darktide than they did in Vermintide, but like you said, you can make a good ranged build in Vermintide as well.
It's nice we're not still using future. Yeah, exactly. We're not using a year 40,001 bow and arrow against.
I'm sure there's some class. I mean, I think the Sisters of Battle have crossbows, some of them.
Oh, I mean, it's an attachment for a gun, is the crossbow that I have on one of my characters. So she has a crossbow on top of her gun, which is just fancy, I guess.
It's like small ninja shit, right? Like, put a fucking crossbow on top of your fucking Sig Sauer. Like,
So if you're wondering who the Orgrin's distant ancestors were, they were baseline humans during the Age of Technology. But thousands of years in harsh terrains and the brutal living conditions at the start of the Age of Strife caused the fall of the first interstellar civilization of mankind. It basically around that time they had to grow real big to deal with the environment,
deal with the creatine sandstorms on their desolate planet.
Oh yeah, God Emperor, so mankind not here anymore. We have to grow big to not let gravity beat us.
So Ogryns are said to be even less intelligent than some orcs. However, the truth is that their intellects did not actually atrophy, but became much more focused on matters such as survival. So, like, kind of what Ethan was saying.
Such as hitting... I have a PhD in hitting stuff with a rock. Yeah. Which makes me just as smart as a guy who makes rockets.
Makes me just as smart as an orc. I want to take a point of umbrage and discuss some lore with you guys about saying some of them are smart as orcs. I'm going to say, I think orcs are smart because... I think in the case of orcs, being smart is subjective. Because if orcs believe something enough, it becomes true. So how do you be dumb if you think the wrong thing and you think it hard enough and enough of you reality, think it, it becomes true.
Yeah.
So you're technically always smart as long as you're thinking with a mob mentality, right?
Yeah,
that's fair. It's fair. A big argument for IQ tests is cultural bias. That you'll find like you go, let's say, into a third world country and you give them an IQ test, they might not know how to do these like problems of like these language tricks and stuff, but they could kill an animal, gut it, survive on their own out there. They have like different types of intelligence.
Float one of those mesh bags full of Rubik's cubes over to the Sentinelese and see how they do with those, and then judge them here in the West.
It's like opportunities. Like you can study for an IQ test, right? And you'll do better if you study for it. It's just like the SATs, right? But it's like, well, it's kind of a test designed just like a lot of Western tests are designed. That since you were a kid, you went to school and learned how to study for those specific kind of tests, which are when you think back to your schooling, not super relevant to real life at all.
Not in the least. Yeah, so, no. Like,
it's relevant to passing an IQ test, I guess. But
exactly. And that's why IQ tests are only relevant within like the sample population that you made the test for. So, and an IQ test of 100 doesn't mean that you have an IQ of 100. It means you're perfectly average. Well, I guess it does mean you have an IQ of 100, but it's not a score that is like stays the same. It's not static. It's dynamic. It's whoever the most average person in the room is, they're always going to be 100. So
always me.
For the audio listeners right now, Jamie's currently pointing to that mannequin head he has covered in the regions of the brain, and he's pointing it out with his calipers.
Yeah, he's got his phrenology calipers. So what would an ogre and IQ test look like?
An ogre and IQ test would probably be like three clubs and three holes, and you know, one of them's like a club kind of with
maybe
a triangle. Yeah.
I was thinking like three card Monty, but on top of three giant clubs, but it's a regular like man sized playing card. It's just like trying to remember where the club is on the folding table.
Oh, I was thinking of the clubs as cards, so like a little ping pong ball just like crushed by a giant club and then like shuffling them around.
One thing that you wouldn't put into their IQ test is anything that involves psychic abilities, because the genes that enable psychic abilities are unknown among Ogryn as a result of them being so like hyper-focused on survival.
Do you know if they can be affected by psychers or like chaos demons, or are they too...
Are they like resistant to it?
Yeah, exactly.
I can't tell... They must fuck. That's how babies are made.
But like, do they? Like, I know they copulate for reproduction. But do they fuck? You know,
I think they fuck. Like, I think
a Slaanesh would like. What would a Slaanesh visiting the planet and turning it into one big orgy look like when it was Ogryn's, right?
Yeah,
just like
a soccer riot.
Yeah, it's like a butcher freezer with like cow corpse, like the butchered cow corpses hanging on, just like slapping into each other, right? Like
I think you'd know. Yeah, I think if you're within like a kilometer, I'm not sure how many Terran feet that is, but you'd be within that radius, you'd probably hear what's going on. Yeah,
or smell it certainly.
Yeah,
well, that's Let's get on right into our next.
That's good, because I was just about to make a joke about them probably secreting pheromones, but let's get into it.
Yeah. Well, so they have awful hygiene, and they're also very claustrophobic. And fair. So at the beginning of every Dark Tide mission, the loading screen while you're waiting to get into your mission is you're in the back of your air vehicle.
Yeah.
And you're shoulder to shoulder. And if there's like three ogrens in your party, you are just like one tiny little person surrounded by three giants. And they're extremely smelly and claustrophobic. So they can only be loaded into carrier vehicles with great difficulty. So I can imagine them with like the, you know, like those things you have to put around like the cat that wants to scratch you, like the neck thing.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Or the little sock you can put over its ears as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So they have to wrangle all these stinky ogres into the carrier vehicles. And only if a commanding officer is present will they actually get in. They'll fight their way out if not. And yeah, so they're hard to get around.
If you just spray like a is there like an ogre catnip which you can just like put in the crate to help them out?
Probably like something fun to destroy at the end. A bunch of phone books to rip in half in the back or something. Yeah.
Just a house of cards, like a massive house of cards built right at the back of the cage. Like
Yeah, Kevin Spacey tapping his lap to ask them to come in.
Oh my God. That'd be good. That'd be a good thing to destroy, right?
Yep. Is
a thing that every ogre wants to destroy.
So if you're ever wondering what an ogre speech looks like, it is in low Gothic. It's usually speech patterns of low Gothic, similar to those in orcs.
Yeah, high Gothic being the language of the Imperium. Presumably being like a fancier language than what they speak. They probably speak why use many word when few word do trick, right?
Yep. Yeah. Them being also not the smartest, they're much better followers than leaders. So if someone like the Emperor of Mankind were to recruit them to the Imperium of Man, they are very susceptible to worship and loyalty. Like, it's said that sometimes like junior officers or like footmen and stuff in the Emperor of Mankind will make friends with an ogryn, and in battle, like if that man's ever in trouble, the ogryn will just come like out of nowhere and smash the foes and stuff.
Okay. Like a golden retriever.
Yes, exactly. And will literally die for their
wagon. Like,
yep.
So if a big turkey leg,
yeah, just terrifying because they're 10 feet tall. Like, no, down, boy, down. It's okay. Yeah. It's okay.
If you ever wake up and you're in the 40K universe and you have to go into battle, like, try and make friends with an ogre, and I think that's your best bet. You know?
Okay, yeah, just tap a little Mars bar into his front pocket. There, you're just like, hey, buddy, how you doing? Just like,
yeah,
probably a Babe Ruth, right?
Was Sloth from Goonies an ogre?
Yeah, he loves Babe Ruths. Yeah.
Yeah. Baby Ruth, Baby Ruth. It's a good movie.
So some of them are not so smart, but there are some that are smarter than the others. And they are chosen as candidates for the biochemical Ogryn neural enhancement procedure. And if you're...
Oh, it's Flowers for Algernon. That's what they're doing. They're going to make them smart temporarily.
Yeah, so biochemical Ogryn neutral enhancement procedure comes out as bone procedure.
Yeah, hence boneheads, gotcha.
Which, boneheads, yeah. Oh, you already know about boneheads.
Well, you said it at the top of the show, you said it, some of the smarter ones. So.
Okay. So yeah, boneheads are the smarter ones. They often are like portrayed with like kind of like a Terminator, half their face is like metal underneath with like a red eye. So
I was fully picturing a Sideshow Mel with like the tall hair and a bone stuck through it, you know.
Okay.
No, I was thinking like a metal skull cap where they would have put like a smarter man's brain in its body, basically.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Here, let me grab a picture because it's not like what you guys are thinking.
Are they smart enough to invent slightly larger showers so they don't feel so claustrophobic? Is there one now that's smart enough to be able to do grout?
I don't think they shower often.
He does kind of look like Sloth from the Goonies.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
The resemblance is there.
Definitely.
All that Mechanicus tech in his head, he still looks like he's having trouble reading, so I don't know how smart the boneheads actually are.
Yeah, so the recipients of the procedures refer to themselves as boneheads. They're more smart, but they're not, like, probably smarter than us. Like, they're smart for ogrens, but ogrens will, like, they have to be kept busy or else they'll just get into fights, kind of like orcs will. They're just very violent and not very smart. So these guys are just, like, a little bit smarter.
Okay.
And they're the brains of their units. And the other ogrens will actually respect that. Even though they don't fully understand why the boneheads want to do things, they look to them for leadership on and off the battlefield.
You got games on your phone? Like, coal encrusted hand, like, going, reaching out for it.
Yep. Whenever a bonehead is in a unit, it has few disciplinary problems, a clearly established hierarchy. So, like, these are the things that you talk to him and you talk to him, and they sort it all out, kind of.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
There's a pissing order.
Exactly. They're brutal but effective leaders. You can imagine they're usually send ogrens in the front line. With the shock troops,
I think it's fair to say.
Yes, shock troops, exactly what they are. And you can imagine the ones bellowing out orders on the front lines would be the boneheads. Okay. And the other ogrens would be listening. Some examples of weapons that they might use. A latrine shovel is featured in game Dark Tide. You can get, like, a riot shield and a mace, which is my personal favorite combo. Because if there's ever snipers, you can, like, walk forward with the riot shield.
I'd love to know what the bonehead's tactical readouts look like that they're giving to the lower ogre. And it's just like, it's just a barely organized pile of rocks, but they totally know what they're talking about. Like, trying to explain to somebody else, it's like all the rocks look the same.
Well, like the picture that Jamie posted has like he's got like a red monocle, like a gadget or whatever, like embedded over his eye, essentially.
Is it like a servitor eye for people who are familiar with the universe?
And like picturing what the tactical HUD is for him there, where it's just like, it's like just like a triangle and then a triangle shape that he's got to like put it into, you know, or like,
all the text that's on like the Terminator site is like so complicated. Like it's super, super simplified, big font on his HUD.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just like, what do you got to do next, bonehead? That's right. Kill the enemies.
Yeah, it's got like a Blue's Clues AI assistant on the inside.
Yeah, Steve from Blue's Clues is actually the one like orchestrating every bonehead unit or every ogren unit.
So yeah, that's what a bonehead looks like. I also posted another picture of that's a bonehead sergeant. He's leading a squad of ogren. You don't really see his red eye there, but I'm sure he's got it underneath it all. And he's got a bullet, and you can see all the bullet shells flying. Like, he's probably shot 20 shots before the bullet could hit the ground.
How many of those would have crit and then been refunded to his clip?
8% if you built the way that I'm built.
20, but then it would be 1.6. If there's 20 shots, then it's 1.6,
yep,
right?
1.6. Yep. And of those 20 that I shot, if I got 1.6 back, that one gives me another chance to get another. And it goes on and on. But anyways.
Just like investments.
Yeah. Yeah, I have compound interest on this lead. Anyways, well, there's going to be a few more types of ogrens that I'd like to talk about. But I think this is a perfect time to take a little break.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information, information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, and welcome back to Lore Boys. We are talking about the Ogryn, which is the ogres of the Warhammer 40K universe.
We just finished talking about boneheads. You can call me bonehead in my pants. You can call me bone pants because I got boner.
Nice, dude. That's sick.
Patreon.com. This is boner audio.
Yep. And we're on to Bulwark.
Okay, this is the one that I thought. Oh no, what was it? There was one like honorary ceremonial guard or something that I was like, this one doesn't sound like the other ones.
Let me read. I'll go back up. We got boneheads, bulwarks, gun luggers, oath-bound bodyguard. Which is
that's the one. Yeah, oath-bound bodyguard. Yeah. You said that the first time. I was like, well, that doesn't sound like gun lugger or bonehead.
We got bulgrins. We got ogryn charonites. We even have chaos ogryns.
Oh, no.
My favorite of which being the ogryn berserkers, which we'll talk about.
Excited.
Pretty. Yeah. But we're still all the way back at the Bulwark. Right? Bulwark? Yeah. So Bulwark is a unit you will run into in Darktide. They are the guys with the big ass shields that are annoying because you can't shoot them from the front.
That does make sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, they're like enemies.
They're enemies. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, you can fight against them. In this case, they're chaos, but they're usually on the side of humanity.
Okay.
So the Imperium of Man recruits these massive creatures as shock troops, arming them with crude and simple weapons before pointing them at the enemy and unleashing them on their foes. So,
yeah. Classic.
Yeah, so they don't... These are like the like 100% tanks. You can kind of play as one... They don't call you a bulwark if you use a riot shield and a mace, but you basically are one.
Yeah, that's one of the things I noticed in the builds in this game is, like, of the terms from 40K that I know, the builds, it's like in a licensed game. Like, the builds you spec into are always just, like, legally distinct Chinese knockoff version of a Games Workshop piece, which I find very bizarre. Like, Zealot has the, like I was saying, the Sister of Battle tree, but it's called like Pyromancer or something because it's fire obsessed or whatever.
There might be, yeah, I have no idea, honestly, but it might be like a, you need to abide by certain strict rules if you're going to use the IP.
Yeah.
Whereas
yeah.
If you just work outside of the IP, then you probably have a lot more flexibility to do it.
Yeah, it's like
want.
Disney. It's like, well, we wouldn't want people to get the wrong impression of these giant dumbasses who use shields, so you can't call them bulwarks in your game.
No. Mickey Mouse would never split his enemy's head open and drink the brains from inside. He would simply flay them alive. You're thinking of Goofy.
I think I get it, too, though. Because, like, every build is going to be a little different, too. Like, if you just picked Bulwark, there's, like, so many different ways you could build a Bulwark. I think, because there's the three main trees, but there's options to cross over into the other, like, lines, basically every few upgrades.
Yeah, so like node-node split sort of thing.
So, like, my current build is the complete right side all the way down, but I also split and I grab the bottom half of the bottom third of the second tree, too.
Right.
But anyways, I can see why they might not just name you straight up Bulwark, because there's a lot of middle ground, too.
I want to say, and we got to do Sisters of Battle lore someday, because I don't know Sisters of Battle, but Sisters of Battle are closer to Astartes, I think, than Astra Militarium, right? Which I think Ogryn are Imperial Guard.
They're
right?
part of the Ecclesiarchy, specifically.
So they're like Inquisition. So that might be another thing too. It's like maybe just like you have the class that's building up to them, but in terms of like lore power levels, like you couldn't approach a Sister of Battle because then you'd be way outpacing like an Ogryn or whatever the other classes are, you know?
Yeah, and I don't have any of the like miracles that I can summon to. Like my faith in the Emperor is weak. Yeah. At present, at least, I think I'm level 11 out of 30.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you've been calling them boneheads. They're bone-ed with an apostrophe instead of an H.
Oh, it's phonetic.
Oh, yeah, I didn't make that clear enough. But I thought it said bone-ed.
Bonehead?
No.
I guess it's easy
to hear bonehead as a non-Cockney person, I guess.
Yeah.
It's not on you, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, so we're still on to the bulwarks, and that's who they are. They got the big shield, they got a mace usually, and they're annoying. Usually you save like a grenade for them or get someone melee to turn them around so you can get them from the other side.
Over here, look, a deck of cards.
Yeah. In combat, the bulwark is an embodiment of primitive savagery and rage, fighting without the thought of restraint or self-preservation. They attack every enemy within range, so they do just big old swings with bone-crunching force. Armor buckles, bodies shatter in their wake. They are immune to pain, injury, and fear, blindly charging through whatever obstacle stands between them and their enemy.
So yeah, exactly like Goofy. Ethan, you were right there.
It's the sight of a bulwark. If you were one of the men fighting and you saw a bulwark ahead of you, it's a huge sign of encouragement and inspiration. So usually when there's like a particularly vicious adversary, the some Astra Militarium regiments will send their Ogryns in as like a champion to get morale going and also to bowl down whatever's up front.
Yeah.
You think instead of a targeting beacon or anything like that to get the Ogryn to go somewhere, they just whip out a big tennis ball to get them to go get it?
Oh, yeah. I'd picture like a cartoon slab of, you know?
Oh, yeah. The perfect steak.
Yeah.
Yep. So yeah, that's the long and short of what it is to be a bulwark. You can kind of build towards a bulwark, like we were saying. You can definitely up your toughness. You can up your health. There's things you can get that like reduce your damage by 10% while you're swinging your weapon. All these types of things that are more like tanky or bulwarky. Next up is a gun lugger. And you can imagine what this one is. They lug guns.
Now, is lugger like a Cockney way of saying lover?
Lugger, mate.
It's L-U-G-G. Yeah.
Lug me, wife. Love the emperor.
Simple as.
Yeah. So this is the most skilled Ogryn marksman, but you will really, like, you're not going to see an amazing marksman here. Usually they have guns that are short range, like the blaster we talked about earlier. Or a heavy machine gun. They're usually better at causing a lot of damage from up close rather than like sniping someone from the back lines kind of thing.
Ogryn marksman test. It's like he actually cleared 60% of the broadside of a barn from the inside. He's the most skilled marksman that we have.
Yeah. They get so into it when they'll stand and shoot till all their bullets are out and where they'll have to be reminded to keep moving forward.
They just like power down when they run out of ammo. It's like a big gob of drool just coming off their bottom lip.
Yeah.
Okay, buddy, we need to reload now. There's more Xenos to slaughter.
And while they're shooting, there's childlike glee on their face.
Okay. Their mags are definitely like triangle shaped, and there's a triangle hole in their gun.
I was gonna say exactly that on the side of the gun.
Just like trying to line it up, like, it's okay, buddy. Keep trying. You're doing good. Yeah. Okay.
The grenade goes into the circle hole, then the mag's got the triangle clip on the side.
Yeah. What shape's this magazine? It's the clover hole.
As the Imperium, I think I would give them circle mags just because, like, a triangle or a square, you can, like, rotate it and it not line up properly.
Sure.
But
well,
a
not
circle...
if it was an equilateral triangle, and then you could store more as well.
No,
store more.
No, you can always
you still fuck
up
an equilateral triangle for sure.
You just do it opposite.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Star
yeah,
David it.
Yeah. Sorry, I was thinking too hard about that when I fucked that up.
Whoa.
Yeah, so, someone obviously didn't have the triangle and triangle hold toy when they were growing up.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't try and outthink the ogres there, Pete. You gotta calm down, buddy. Okay.
Yeah,
you do what you do best. You do silent pantomime whenever you think of a good physical comedy joke for our podcast.
we changed the circle mags, and we just our productivity has been doubled, you know, because we don't have all these guys putting them upside down in the back.
That's right, the square hole.
Yep. They're often seen sweeping their great weapons back and forth in wide arcs, grinning stupidly as they pulverize their targets with concentrated streams of high caliber fire. And this is the build I play, by the way. This is very fun. Yeah.
This is why you got to steal all of Pete's ammo.
Exactly. Because I'm having childlike glee in the back with my...
At level 30, Jamie unlocked his circular peg, which I haven't gotten to yet.
Yeah.
Can't wait till I circular peg, Jamie.
Oh, no. So yeah, like I said, the expenditure of all their ammo or the occasional weapon jam can also cause this time not just shutting down, but wildly destructive tantrums among these trigger happy brutes.
It's like blue balls for a gun lugger, right?
Yeah. They just run in and start smashing enemies with their machine gun.
Hold it by the barrel. It's basically a hammer at that point, right?
To be fair, it probably weighs 60 pounds looking at this thing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. In Darktide, you can get a grenade launcher, and you can only shoot the grenade launcher when aiming down sights. And if you try and shoot it while not aiming down sights, you use it as a heavy attack.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you just load a cannonball? Just like a straight up like wad in there?
They're explosive. I'm not sure what it is, but there also is a way to build so your explosions are bigger. I just don't like the... because you only get like 30 or 40 shots with the grenade launcher, which is like you can make a lot happen with those 30 or 40 shots, but I'd much rather have 600 shots in a machine gun than
is it like Vermintide where like you have this grenade launcher but it's your you would be playing a melee class and then you'd have a grenade launcher as like your secondary weapon? Or
you could do that, you could build that way.
It feels to me like that's probably its intent, right? Is to be like you're playing melee first, but sometimes you get these big bombs and you just need to drop a grenade in the middle of them.
Yeah, it seems like the best way to build everything is have a good AoE and have a good single target, or like have a good way to deal with bosses and have a good way to deal with swarms. And melee is always a good way to deal with swarms, and a grenade launcher would be a good way to deal with the boss. So I could see that being a good way to do it, yeah. So other members of the units rely on the relentless fire of the gun lugger because they use it as suppressing fire, basically. And they can sneak on up while their crazy ogres are laying in the clips from the back.
Like, they're probably also, when they're going through the childlike glee.
Yeah.
To having too much fun to think about self-preservation, right? So that's like the ultimate suppressing fire, where it's like they're not even thinking about keeping themselves alive at all.
Just
laying down, laying it down, you know?
That's it. And they can they are like the tanks, so exactly. They're just... what's taking a couple bullets if you're putting out 600, right?
Yeah, big gravity may give big bones, block big bullets.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Oathbound bodyguard. So this is the one that kind of stuck out. But they just make excellent bodyguards because they're super loyal, determined, and really hard to kill.
It's just like the name is really putting lipstick on a pig, right? And this here is my oathbound bodyguard.
Hello?
Just like, yeah. It's like a finger up the nose to the knuckle, you know? Like,
yeah. And that's the one he pulls out to shake your hand when he meets you.
Exactly.
And the string is still connected.
Yeah, it's still connected.
Like, hello. Yep.
Gives a salute, pokes himself in the eye with his booger covered.
Yeah. So if you are lucky enough to put lipstick on a pig, you'll be respected by the other officers in the Astro Militarium. It's a big honor to have.
This isn't like an assigned ogre duty. This is like a you found a dog that liked you enough, right? By it said, so this isn't an assigned duty. this is a you got lucky enough to find an Ogryn that likes you. Like, you're charismatic enough to have gotten one that likes you.
Right. Yeah. So something in your journeys have won you the respect or the love of an Ogryn. Yeah.
Oh, the love. That's a little scary. Going to show you his round peg.
One tiny flower in his giant hands.
Yeah. Yeah, he's fitting a round peg into a round hole, but yeah. Just a different scale going on.
I'll find you a Daffy deal.
All right, so Imperial officers also take great pleasure in the intimidation factor that Ogryns bring to any tactical briefing or social engagement.
Yeah, I thought you were gonna say like on the battlefield as it struck me, I was like, probably politically pretty nice. Yep. To have like, yeah, a giant on your side, like the big friendly giant on your side, right?
Yeah.
I bring friendly giant with homicidal tendencies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Different than the Roald Dahl BFGs that we know and love, but
absolutely.
Yeah, you don't want to hand the omnibus over to a guy with an Ogryn bodyguard, right? He's, yeah, like, he can't read 1,000 pages of legislation.
Yeah, and that'll happen usually with officers, but what I said earlier, where you can get like a low ranking officer or a regular guardsman who win the trust of an Ogryn, that can happen too. So like a frontliner could have their golden retriever come and save them.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, right.
Big whiskey cask under his neck, just like
digging you out of a pile of bodies with his nose. a pile of fucking tiered corpses. Like,
yeah, like I know that's a different dog, but I love the do they have on the Ogryn planet their own version of Air Bud, where it's an Ogryn who's learned to play basketball?
The court is empty. It's just the one Ogryn who's able to play basketball. And they're all amazed. Yeah.
Me and Luis went out for a smoke at the bar the other night. We were talking, why aren't there more dog movies like there used to be, like Shiloh and Air Bud? Why aren't more dog
cruelty laws? Probably.
I think there are. I think there's probably just as many as there was back then. I bet you they're still making Air Buds, if I had to bet.
They're still teaching dogs how to play.
It's just you don't see commercials.
No rule.
You don't see commercials anymore. You watch movie trailers. Like, yeah, you'll hear an announcement, you'll go look up a movie trailer.
And I rarely look at movie trailers. If I'm,
yeah, not, and then I the know. Like, if you did watch movie trailers, I'm sure YouTube would recommend more of them. Yeah. But I bet you, like, they're marketed for kids, right? They always were. So
fair. This I wouldn't market to a kid. A Bulgrin is an Ogryn that is made has carapace armor made out of discarded tank tracks and crude assault weaponry. So they're like the fully clad in metal mecha type guys, but not really mecha, just more like metal.
Okay. That's pretty cool. Yeah. And just to cap it off there, to tease our eventual Air Bud episode, they haven't made one since 2013. 10 years, no Air
Bud. Wow, bring it back.
Yeah.
Huh.
I'm sure they got some shitty dog movie equivalent these days.
Do you guys remember MVP, the skateboarding monkey?
I do.
Oh my god, I completely forgot him until you just said it.
Most valuable primate, baby.
I remember eating pizza with the boys. Yeah.
Wow. It's been a while. I'm looking at a picture of Bulgrin models, I guess, right now. And yeah, they're not mechs, but they look like if big dumb humans wanted to dress up as mechs for Halloween kind of thing.
Yeah.
they're cosplaying
like
as
big
mechs.
Metal like shoulder plate thing that goes down onto their chest. And then like a tank track that's connected to the bottom of their chest plate, and it goes under their grundle, like a to protect their underside. There's just like tank trap draped like underneath them.
Nice, like, and flexible.
Yeah.
And breathy.
Like the crotch part of his Borat swimsuit, you know? Mm-hmm. It's a tank trap.
Super thin little tank trap.
There's your episode art, Sasha Barry.
I've got a few good ones.
With the tank tread bikini. Thank you.
Some wield power mauls, which is cool as hell. I didn't know what a power maul was, but it's like a maul, but powerful.
It'd be like a rocket hammer. It's like power swords are like some of the melee weapons the Sisters of Battle use, so I know they are like a lightning-infused sci-fi sword, basically.
Okay.
Somewhere between a lightsaber and a regular sword.
A power maul is essentially the same as a shock maul, save that it is surrounded in a power field, like the other power weapons, whose primary purpose create molecular disruption that can be lethal in close combat. So it's like a hammer that gives you cancer? I don't know.
I thought fucking hitting my thumb was a problem.
Just watching it swell up like, oh, that's not good.
Bulgrins, they're basically the ammo soaker uppers. Like if you just saw like a bunch of low tier gunmen kind of thing, and you approach them with some Bulgrins, you'd be in pretty good shape because they'd be able to walk all the way up through the gunfire and they just start swinging the power mauls through the light ranged units.
Give all the Belgians you're fighting cancer eventually.
Yep. Ogryn Karanites. What are these guys? They're detachments of the Imperial Army during the Great Crusade and Horus Heresy. They're assigned to the elite Solar Auxilia cohorts when brute strength was required. Karanite squads were only constituted of the physically powerful abhumans known as Ogryns. And these guys look like, let me grab a picture for you. A lot like the Bulwark ones, or not the Bulwark ones, the Bulgrins, where they're heavily armored, but they don't have like the tank tracks and stuff. That is the exact same picture I was looking at, actually, than the one you posted for Bulgrins.
Oh,
that's perfect. And these are the Karanites. You can see in their hands they have like power tools.
Yeah, I was gonna say power tools. These look like the when Ripley fights the alien mother at the end of Alien. Like the exosuit that she has, kind of like, it looks like they have working exosuits, right?
Yeah. For working the mines. Don't have hands anymore. Their hands are clearly gone and have been replaced by like rock grinding, like those rock grinding wheels. And one just has like a big, like triple shear thing, like a big pair of three headed scissors, basically.
Yeah. When you're in the wool mines, you got to shear all those sheep.
Yeah. Exactly. Honestly, this one in the middle that doesn't have a gas mask on looks like a giant human baby in like a robot's in like power armor.
No, it looks like the X-Man that covers up his whole body and runs through walls.
The Juggernaut?
Juggernaut, yeah.
They basically are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that
the Juggernaut this, bitch, sorry.
The Ogryn Karanites, they are kind of the base of what eventually the Bulgrins would become. And they're also the base for some of the Chaos Ogryns, which we're going to get into now. I'll post a picture of my favorite one.
What if we let them keep their hands opposed to the big wool shears? Would that be better?
This
they would fall to chaos, you fool.
This is one of the coolest ones.
You can fight these in game. These are very cool, yeah.
The Ogryn Berserkers. So they're heavily surgically altered using neurological biochemical processes. So they start by lobotomizing the Ogryn. They turn it into a docile creature, unable to even feed itself, and so it's completely reliant on its masters. And then they have chemical injectors on the back. Kind of like
it's two combat stims, right? It's the meth that I was talking about earlier. It's the street drugs that they inject into sinners for the Sisters of Battle as well, right?
Yeah,
it's called turn the Mr. Jackal into, or the Dr. Jackal into Mr. Hyde, but the starting point is already Mr. Hyde.
Yes, yeah. They deliver a cocktail of highly dangerous drugs, including the banned combat drug called Slot. SLAUGHT. Slot was once favored by the notorious Flesh Terrors Space Marine Chapter and the World Eaters Traitor Legion, which stimulates the subject's adrenaline glands and neural pathways to the brain that govern aggression. So
I like that lobotomized.
You see, with this simple tincture, we can induce in them the kind of bloodlust euphoria that you would normally need 500-600 bullets and a minigun to induce in one of these.
Yep. So with this driven into overdrive, user becomes a raging psychopath driven by bloodlust that cannot be sated. There's other drugs in there as well that give them more strength, even more abilities to block pain, which they're already quite good at. There's also side effects, like hallucinations and desire for self-mutilation that they have to look out for. But other than that, super cool.
Yeah, so when they're not in combat, they're just sitting there with big oven mitts on so they can't harm themselves, right?
Yeah.
Corpse their teeth.
Yeah. A straight jacket fit made for Goliath, right?
Yeah. They're expendable troops. They're used in the siege of Vrax by the Vraxian trader militia. And they're not supposed to survive their first encounter with the enemy. They're a one-use weapon. Very, very strong, but you just throw them on the front line and they'll fuck shit up.
Yeah, like you're not taking them home with you whenever you leave. Now put that thing back in the car.
Yeah.
Nope. He's all hungover off of slot. And you're like, nah, yeah. It's going to be terrible.
Yeah, I mean, like he's a big bloody mess. He's got a nice little loincloth with like a nice steel loincloth, like a jock strap, I guess. Like a steel cup, essentially, with the Chaos Undivided symbol on it in blood. Yeah. But he's got like a mask on, but the mask looks like it's clearly designed to look like a cloth hood, like a burlap sack hood with the eye holes cut out. But it also looks like it's made of flesh, like they've repurposed flesh for like a sack cloth hood. which is pretty cool. He's also missing his entire right arm for a large pneumatic saw blade. And his right arm has hooks and knives all strapped up to it. And hooks on chains and then some knives on the end. Wolverine knife.
I don't know why, but made me think like you capture like a couple different video game characters. Like you get two humans, you put sack cloth on their heads, you capture the guy from Little Big Planet, you put flesh on his head.
Sack boy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like when the sack boy feds are like abducting sack boy witnesses or whatever.
We're going to go on to the last Ogryn of the day, which you can meet as well in Dark Tide, a Warhammer 40k. And these are the Plague Ogryns. And let me grab a picture for you guys, but you can probably guess which god they're into. We talked about them one time.
Yeah, so I guess the last ones you said. Chaos Ogryns? Are they just like, because he has a Chaos Undivided symbol on his jockstrap, like I said, but he does look like a corn fan, less Slaanesh, like we'd said kind of before. Like,
yeah.
This seems less about the having fun, sexing people up. God,
Corn, yeah, Corn is really good at getting the abhumans on his side. It was mentioned somewhere here. Yeah,
blood for the blood god. Honestly. Exactly.
Skulls for the skull
seems front. To come naturally. Yeah, it seems to come naturally. And yeah, he's sexy, but not in like an orgy kind of way.
Extra thick skulls for the extra thick skull throne.
But this one, the plague one would be a different guy who loves pustules and
Nurgle, of course.
Yeah.
I was getting to it, but because I don't know if you mentioned him being the first one being Corn specifically, but he looks like a Corn guy, and this guy definitely looks like a Nurgle guy with big old sacks all over. This guy got hit with the cancer hammer.
So many times.
So, Plague Ogryns you can run into in game. Like, they just show up after a certain difficulty. They just show up at any point. And they're kind of hard to kill. They can, like, poison and stuff. I like them because I am a heavy gunner and I have a grenade that can do half the health. So I just lay into them until he's at half health and throw a grenade. And things are good. And I get that kill. And then everyone's like, Ogryn strong. And then I get to flex, and it's very good. he got some of Nurgle's gifts, which include hulking masses of bloated disease flesh and twisted mutations. They're like sickly.
All these tumors and pus. It's like they consider that a gift in some cultures.
It's true, yeah. In battle, these creatures can prove almost impossible to kill, and their merest touch brings a horrific death. They're believed to be created by the mysterious heretic Astartes, warman known as the Tainted on Vrax Prime during the infamous Siege of Vrax, which I don't think we've talked about.
The Siege of Vrax? No.
No.
Maybe. Did we? No, I don't think it came up in the Nurgle episode.
No. But a faction devoted to Nurgle, in its aspect as a mortifier of the flesh, they are said to have worked the darkest of the sorcerer's arts on the already distorted and chem-augmented Ogryn slave stock, being used by the rebel forces on Vrax Prime. So they got a bunch of sick and tired slaves, and they just made them thicker and I don't know, maybe less tired, but
they're thicker. They're of all the Warhammer 40K Darktide classes, they're the ones with the biggest dump. They got the biggest dumper for sure.
Oh yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Ogryns? Come on.
I guess so. Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Do you know Nork Deadog?
No.
Not personally.
He's a Nor. I guess, yeah, we're going to finish with notable Ogryns. Nork Deadog, legend in his own lifetime. He's fought as an Astra Militarum soldier, and he had astonishing mental development that could only be like called precocious for one of his subspecies. He was really smart, so he came to the attention of the commissars of the Imperial Guard, and he found himself on special duties. And he's like the most loyal of the Imperial Guard. His loyalty is unsurpassed. So I guess you could say he's the most loyal. That's what that
means. He almost looks like an orc. I like this old model of him that's clearly from the 80s, where he does just
I'm looking at the same one as he was, like the first release model or something.
The caricature of what is just like a drunk British guy. Yeah, here's a different angle.
We just all got great, great, unflattering pictures of Nork Deadog.
Yeah, he looks like the big Sasquatch Muppet from The Muppets.
Right?
Yeah, so he's smarter than the average one. It looks like he has a mechanical eye, too, so I'm not sure if he counts as a bonehead. But it doesn't say here.
This one's great. He's got a little speaker on his shoulder, on his right shoulder, and his little speaker also has a jaunty hat, is how you can tell his rank is.
I think is it maybe an exhaust for his for a flavor or something? I don't know.
Well, there's one more notable one that it doesn't have a picture here, but his name's Urok. U-R-O-K. And he served among the ranks of the 233rd Catachan Jungle Fighters for many years. He was tithed at a very young age, so he's become incredibly attached to the little uns that he calls them, that he serves alongside. In-game, you often call them runts.
Like, where the runts go?
Oh, okay.
And whenever you're like not close to them. But little uns, I guess, is a nice way of saying it.
The result that I found here is he doesn't have a weapon. In this one, he does have the bag over his head with the breathing pipes, but instead of a weapon, he just kind of snapped a telephone pole out of the ground and uses the concrete at the bottom as a way to attack people.
He had a friend named Gurion, who he loved, and some orcs, the orc boys, shot Gurion, and Urok was inconsolable for days, probably just weeping. And now he's become hungry for revenge against the orcs. So this is just an ogre that likes to go against orcs. It'd be a fun roleplay reason to have those two groups fight. And yeah, the loss of Little and Gurion made him more aggressive than normal. He was less aggressive than some of his friends. And he started acting on his own initiative to fight back against the orcs. So Urok, another notable one, if you ever want those folks to fight. Then there's a list of all like the regiments of all ogred regiments and stuff, but I think this would be a good place to end. So
yeah, all the ogren's tiny brains are probably full of information at this point. We can stop here.
Yeah, I want to say thank you to Forshi, who is a sub and also who bought me this game for as a late birthday present last month. So thanks a lot for that. I probably wouldn't have played it nearly as much or at all if you hadn't bought it. So I'm already at level 30 with my Ogryn and I'm working on my veteran next. I think Psyker after that. And we'll keep going. The cat's going behind my PC. Melon. Yeah,
big shout out to Father Daddy Forshi, long time patron and supporter of the show.
Yep.
If you want to join the illustrious ranks of Forshi and other patrons, you can go to patreon.com/theloreboys. Peter, what's going on with you? How's Instagram these days?
Good. At Loreboys Podcast on Instagram. I'd like to thank Jamie specifically for the emergency episode here. I've had a lot of fun with that. I've been having fun with Darktide as well, playing with them. It is on Game Pass for poor people or people whose birthdays are too long in the past to justify gifts from, like me. Obviously, that's why I didn't get it. but yeah, at Loreboys Podcast on Instagram. towards the tail end of working on my comic here, so and that'll be released through Lore Boys. I'll have to figure out how, and I'll have a proper timeline early 2024 or late 2023, depending on how much fucking sleep I can get. But yeah, very exciting that we're going to be taking care of this project I've had cooking now for like 2 years, two and a half even, for just through this, which has been pretty cool. And yeah, we saw some people joining who might want extra content. At present, sometimes I'll show a picture of one of my toys every month. That's your extra content on Instagram, but that is at Loreboys Podcast.
We don't know how to do socials very well, so don't know what to tell you.
We know how to do them better than we do them, but
that's fair. That is,
yeah.
But I think what's discouraging for me is even if I gave it 100% effort, they'd still be really bad. You know,
yeah.
Like if I felt like I was making a noticeable difference,
right? Man. You can learn any skill. 80% of any skill in 20% of the time it would take to become a master.
Okay, Mr. Corporate Trainings. Chill. Okay? I've had enough work.
You caught me. You caught me.
Our new loreboys.com website, I figured out how to create 6 or 7 draft posts, did not immediately figure out how to post an image, and just gave up.
Yeah, Pete hounded me for weeks to get Squarespace set up for him. I finally got it set up. And he's like, okay, I'm never going to learn how to use this. I was like, all right.
I will now. Yeah. One of the things I thought of was like, well, before I release this comic, we need a functional website. Because one of the things I had against my last business partners was not having a website in 2023.
Yeah, he says not updating his own website.
Yeah. Hey, at least it's there. Better than nothing.
If you want to support the show, like I said, there's Patreon. There's also leaving us reviews or telling your friends. It's the only, as we just said, we don't have a social media presence. So the only way that you or anybody else has found the show is probably from just happening to get the algorithm to share with you something that somebody else with your taste liked on some platform. So far,
pretty good. You're doing a great job at it, though.
Yeah, please do that. We're continuing to grow every day thanks to the hard work and love and support of all the people out there like yourself. And if you could support the show that way, we'd super, super appreciate it. As always, we have Lore Boys Prime, where, as you guys know, I am the most average person in a room anytime an IQ test is being compared to anybody, but I am still the smartest lore boy. We are going to be recruiting some people to be dumber than Jamie and Pete. So we need some people to sign up who are real dumb, real
that's
light.
Dumb that's as a bag of hamburgers. We increase our IQ as we just lower that
lower the average exactly
in the room.
That's what I did in making this show, and now I'm extending that olive branch to you guys and showing you guys my tips and tricks after 7 years of recording together. So yeah, if you think you're dumb enough to join the Lore Boys crew, the LBC, then you can crunch at us. Contact at loreboys.com.
I forgot. Speaking of fighting dumb, one of the grenade slots for Ogryn's is just a rock.
Yeah, it's like a cinder block.
And you can either have 5 rocks to throw at your enemies or 1 big grenade. So you know, you let us know what you want to throw, and maybe
I would go with rock. In The Last of Us, the brick was my absolute favorite weapon.
The brick was like better than some of the guns in The Last of Us. It was like more accurate because the melee throughs would lock on. And bricks come fully upgraded, right?
Yeah, true. Exactly.
True.
I think that would constitute a lore boy.
Lore boys.
Out. Where's the stop button?
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.